We turn to see his triumph over the grave now in Mark 16. Mark 16, 1 through to 8. Mark 16. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early in the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the tomb for us, the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Well, boys and girls, it is good to see you this morning. It's good to see you. I know you've been watching on the TV, and I know some boys and girls are watching yet even this morning. But I wonder if I could ask you, and we could think about this morning, what the resurrection, that's a big word, the resurrection means for you, for children. You know, the Bible says that happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And boys and girls, this morning we're happy deep down inside. Deep down inside. Not because of all the chocolates that we eat. I wonder if you had any chocolates yet this morning. I know some were heading that way in our house to try to eat chocolate. Joe, have you had any chocolates yet? You have. Anna, have you had any? Not yet. I have. Do you have any Easter eggs in your house? I see one here. Phoebe, do you recognize this one? Yes, you do. And I also have another one here. And I have a little Easter box. Oh, yes. I'm going to leave these sit here, actually. I've got sort of Easter theme to the pulpit. That's quite nice. Easter egg. I'm not going to eat them, though. I'm not. You know, whenever you were sitting watching at home, you know, you could have your coffee or your chocolate or whatever. Can't do that here now. Well, maybe you can, in through the mask. Boys and girls, chocolate is nice, isn't it? I like chocolate. And maybe you got an Easter egg that we delivered out to you. But, you know, chocolate, it'll soon disappear, won't it? It'll soon disappear. We have a happiness. We have a happiness that's lasting, boys and girls. That's lasting. That's deep and lasting. Our happiness, the deep down joy that we have, is in our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead. You know, boys and girls, as little followers of Jesus Christ, you have a great advantage, you know, to older folk. You have a great advantage to older folk. You know, older folk, they sometimes forget. They sometimes forget that they need the Lord Jesus. They grow old and they exercise lots of power in their life this way or that. And they sometimes daily forget their need of Christ. But not so you. Not so you. You know what it is to hold tight onto your mummies and your daddies, and your grannies and your grandas, don't you? You know what it is to rely on someone. You know that they make you dinner, and maybe you'll have a nice Easter dinner after church. You know what it is to have them buy you clothes. That you know what it is for your mummies or your daddies, your grannies or grandas to give you maybe some Easter eggs. They keep you safe, of course, your parents, don't they, in the world. You rely on them. You rely on them. And you know, with all that our parents do for us, so much greater does the Lord Jesus Christ do for little boys and little girls did older people as well. He went to death. He went to death and rose again that we might be safe in him. Clothed in his righteousness, fed with his word. You know, as you cling on to your parents, whom the Lord gives to you, so greater trust and cling on to the living Lord Jesus Christ, that the one who went to the grave and rose again to save you, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it proves that it's all true. And as we trust in him, we can know forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy not just in things that will pass away, but things indeed eternal, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray for you, and then we'll come to the word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for those who are here in person, indeed for those who are watching on the screen. Lord, we are delighted to hear their little voices and to see them, Lord, even gathered. Lord, we thank you for that simple faith that they can exercise. Lord, even as they trust upon the parents, Lord, for all things, so they recognize that in Christ, that he is one to be trusted for all things, indeed, and all things eternal. Lord, that we would have the faith of a little child. And Father, we pray that you would grow that in our children, that reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ, that knowledge of him who died and rose again. Father, we pray that you would lead them in the ways of righteousness. Lord, that they would cling to you with all their lives, shaking off sin and that disobedience and putting on the new life in Christ. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, even for the good news of the resurrection that we can rely on here in this morning. Lord, bless our time on now as we come to think a little bit deeper into the worth of the resurrection, Lord, for all of us as believers who rest upon it. And Lord, we remember those who are unsaved as yet. Lord, that perhaps even yet they would receive the rest of the resurrection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, what a year we have had. What a year we have had in your personal lives and in your homes. Each of you an experience to tell, whether in work or in retirement, whether going to the shops, whether just going out for a walk. We've all seemed to be outside a good lot more, out and walking. What a year we have had. Plenty to talk about what's going on in the hospitals and communities, in the shops, and even in this past week, have we not been talking so much about funerals? Funerals. Well, let me say, even by word at the start of this, for those who are listening perhaps, how, as we reflect upon events in the news, the Protestant community, instead of learning to turn the other cheek to those who persecute us, it seems all we've learned from our enemies is the tactic that might is right and violence works. Well, it doesn't. God's word tells us it only begets more. Peter had to put the sword down in the garden, and so do we. So do we need to stop. Put it down and come to listen to the word this morning. Come to listen to the word about rest for the future. I was saying there'd been plenty of talk about funerals. You know, I buried 20 dear souls since March last year, 20 times up to that cemetery. I've seen grave diggers in full hazmat suits, like something out of science fiction. I've seen me changing back to normal clothes in the garage. I've seen the gates to the graveyard locked. Children left, grandchildren, and children too actually, left outside weeping, while inside we said goodbye. I've noticed the lines of the new graves as I've walked in front of the hearse. I've been timed, you know. I've had officials watch my services for breaches. I've heard stories of of death and parting that will mark me to my dying day. And yet each time I go home, far too quickly because there's no tea or time to process allowed afterwards, each time I can go home to my office go into my office and rest, knowing that life is not in vain. All hope is not lost. And though we're sad and wounded, there is a victory. I have a beautiful rest on the historic fact that we are going to think about this morning. Where is my rest found? Is it in the work of my hands or in the thought of getting revenge for what others have breached or in the distractions of the world? No. My rest after every funeral is on death's defeat at another cemetery a long, long time ago. And every time I'm beside a grave, that the glorious fact of the resurrection is the reality that I proclaim and rest upon. That the empty tomb offers rest for the children of God is what we will think about for us. And yet also for the unsaved this morning, here and listening in, that they may find a hunger and a thirst after this promised rest. Let's think about resurrection rest for the child of God, and then how the unsaved may receive rest. You know, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And you know, Mark gives that account that we know so dearly and hold so dearly. The Sabbath ended on sunset, on the day Saturday for the Jews. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Joseph, and Salome brought spices to go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on that morning, clearly between the time of the sun rising over the horizon, but not yet fully dark, they went to the tomb of Jesus. And this was, of course, Joseph of Arimathea's provision in his garden tomb. They head to the tomb full of questions, the Bible tells us. Not spiritual, not resurrection shaped, but practical. How are we going to move this big stone? At the door of the tomb. When they arrived and looked up to the tomb, we are told, they discovered that it had been rolled away. In Matthew's account, we know that it was an angel that rolled it aside. And they go in. And they find a young man sitting on the right side of the tomb, right-hand side of the tomb. And Mark is brief, but Matthew tells us that this young man had garments as white as snow, flashing like lightning, brighter even than the sun that is beautifully lighting up our church this morning. An angelic messenger. And they were intensely shocked by him. You know, when mortals meet angels in the Bible, there's a holy fear. But it's always quickly followed by God's words of encouragement. And that's what we see here. Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. Don't be scared. You're seeking Jesus, the Nazarene, the one who's off Nazareth, who was crucified. And Jesus is a common name, but the angel hones it in to the location that was Jesus of Nazareth. What's far more relevant to the situation is his very next words. He has risen. He's risen. You know, the early church, that's what they said to each other. Instead of saying hello, they said, Jesus Christ, he is risen indeed. Such was their joy about this. You know, and the angel speaks to them. Don't be fearful. You're wondering where Jesus' body is. Don't be. He's risen. As Christ stated in John 10, he's the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. And the angel explains further. He's not here. Look to the proof. The place where his dead body is laid, it's empty. The whole tomb's empty. He's risen. Now, and then verse 7 gives instructions. Go, go. Don't keep it to yourself. Go. Tell his disciples. And after the angels spoke these words of encouragement, great joy to the ladies. How does the encounter end? They fled the tomb, trembling in amazement, and said nothing to anyone. Repeat it again for us, because they were afraid. It was a shocking thing that had happened. But of course, eventually the shock dissipates. These ladies fear not, for their Savior has risen. And there's a resurrection fact to be rested upon. And they witness to the disciples these things. Friends, it is a shocking thing that we have encountered. We've come through it in our lives. The kind of year that shakes you to the core. Makes you question maybe your faith. Your life, your job, your future. Now, I do not have answers for many of those temporal things. But I do know shock dissipates. It disappears. And there is a rest to be found for the believer here this morning. A rest to be found for the believer. The same rest that was found all those centuries ago. In an empty tomb. Jesus Christ has risen. And had he not been, well, then our religion, our faith, our future Christianity, well, we ought to be dead and buried. We should lock the door. We should bewail the future. We should succumb to the hardness of the pandemic, like so many out there in the world. I read an article in The Guardian. I don't make a habit of reading The Guardian, but it pops up on my threads from time to time on Twitter and Facebook. And I read an article from a committed, hardened atheist. And the author was basically lamenting the terrible state that he was in, because he had no community. He had no hope. He had no story. And he looked over to his friends in the church, and he recognized that us, that we, a people, had come through this with a resurrection hope, with an ability to weather it. Many out there not believing the resurrection succumbed to the hardness of this past year. And yet there was an empty tomb. It's central for Christianity. You know, I heard a Presbyterian minister on the radio in response to the question of the relevance of the resurrection for an increasingly secular world. And the answer, I have a much more traditional conservative view of some of the ins and outs of what may have happened. What may have happened. The ins and outs. Name it. Name it. Don't play down for the secular world. Jesus Christ died with the purpose of 3 days later rising again. Which he did. Because he lives, we the church shall live. The death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, the cornerstones, the salvation of our souls. God's whole plan of redemption stamped out by the reality of the resurrection. Child of God this morning, there was once a grave that had the body of Christ in it. He truly died, the most awful of deaths. His body had been prepared. Christ subjected himself to these things, placed in a new tomb. And he did so not thinking that it was a 50-50 chance of coming back again. With certainty, he went to die and rise again. I saw some posts, maybe you've seen them, trying to show how Jesus empathizes with us, because he knows what it was on the cross to be without hope. Nonsense. Believer, the resurrection was a planned result for the Lord. He knew with certainty. He who bore our punishments, suffered the wrath, yet as very God, defeated death. He was never without hope. But rather by his dying, able to reach us the dead with a free and gracious salvation. All those whom the Father gave him. Friends, we rest this morning that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. The child of God here in this morning, in person, and watching and listening, we can know that Jesus didn't die but rose again, overcoming death. You and I die, this is the way of the flesh, but Christ, who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, went to the grave and it could not hold him. Death swallowed up in victory. Death defeated, sin's power broken. You and I might feel like all is lost, with doubt and disbelief assailing you. But by the power of the resurrection Christ, you shall live. You may fear and be in times of unbelief, but he will help and never let go of his precious child. You may have had thoughts this past year. It may have been like Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back, didn't she? She failed. Lot and his family given instructions in their escape from the doomed city. And the angel told them, don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills. And in the raining sulfur and fire, Lot's wife looked back and was instantly turned to a pillar of salt. And you may feel this past year, you've looked back. You may feel that all is lost. Well, we can say, because of Christ's resurrecting power, for the child of God here this morning, you will not be like Lot's wife. There will be none like Lot's wife. No believer. He lives, and he will see that you live too. His resurrection power is our solid, our everlasting hope. How does John Rippon put it in his final verse of How Firm a Foundation? That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. It's poetically, it puts God's own promise from Scripture. I'll never leave nor forsake you. That's why I want the child of God to hear this morning, your first Sunday back, gathered in, to rest on the resurrection reality. Rest on Jesus, to whom we owe our all. Our life, our eternity, our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. And had he not risen from the dead, we would have nothing. But he has. He has risen. And the resurrection, a proof of it. A deposit for the everlasting glory that awaits all his children. Believer, when the world is talking about COVID-19, that's all it wants to do, about talking about that and vaccine this and vaccine that, when all you can do is see the four corners of your room and your house, and courage seems to falter, rest, rest, rest. Jesus Christ is alive, sovereign in heaven above. The grave did not hold him, and he has risen. Risen over your circumstances, stronger than all your foes, more than able to keep his saints, and speak unto them, my peace I give you. You know, in midweek past, we were thinking about Joshua and his dying days and his final words. And he urged the children of Israel, didn't he? Keep going. Keep going into the future. Keep clinging unto the Lord their God. And you know, this side of the cross, we cling on to an even more wondrous revelation. We cling on to the risen, living Lord. Do you have that rest in him? Is his resurrection hope precious to you this morning? Now, the child of God can rest in the resurrection, can justly hear those benefits. But there's some here and listening, and they find in themselves a jealousy stirring for that rest enjoyed, a hunger and thirst to know the power of the resurrection in their lives. Well, Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Every other religion of the world is fake compared to what you are hearing this morning concerning Jesus Christ. Every other faith, every other spiritual guide, every other religion of the world is a lie compared to the truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the grave gives me authority to say that this morning. Are you resting on Jesus Christ? the resurrected, our resurrected living Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you walk through Craigie Hill Cemetery, your loved one's grave, knowing that they trusted in the Lord? Can you say, I'll see you soon, and spend eternity with you and the Lord? Not because you're desperately hoping that's the case, but because it's true for the children of God in Christ who died and rose again, that you're resting as they did on the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon and very soon, friend, every one of us will see the resurrected Son of God. Every eye will behold him, the Bible tells us. For some, that will be in a beholding with tears of joy unto salvation, to eternity bright. For others, it will be a beholding with tears of great fear, for you have scorned him, and it is now too late. Seek the risen Lord today. Rest your sins, your failures, your unrighteousness upon him and his resurrecting power, and so receive him. Everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, will be saved. May the Lord bless the proclamation of his word this Easter morning. Indeed, to God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you, we are humbled by your word, which reminds us as children of God to rest in your Son's finished work. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've looked back and we thought that all is lost for us. Lord, our faith has faltered. But Lord, we thank you that your faith in us has not faltered. Lord, we thank you that you hold and you keep, Lord, each one of your flock. Oh Lord, we thank you for the one who says, I'll never forsake you, or leave or forsake you. We thank you for the one who's gone on ahead of us to prepare a place for us. We thank you for the one who's risen again. We thank you, O Lord, for the resurrection hope and the rest that we can enjoy in it here in this morning. We pray, O Lord, though, for those who, Lord, do not know this rest, no personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, no saving interest in him. O Lord, we ask that you bring them to the Savior, to know his beauty, to know his resurrection power, to believe in it, to trust in his grace and forgiveness. Lord, we intercede for our land at this time. Lord, with these civil disturbances in Londonderry and Newton Abbey and Ballymena, even Larne last night with this hoax. Father, we pray, Lord, for sin committed against your majesty in word, thought, and deed, and against our state in the same. Lord, we pray that you would move. Lord, that you would create in us pure hearts. Lord, that you would bring calm to our land. Lord, for politicians and community leaders. Lord, we pray that they would be able to lead young people away from the brink. Lord, we remember your church in all of this. Lord, help us to be that witness. Lord, pointing to the risen Lord, even this morning, this Easter morn. Lord, we ask that you would guide and govern us by your word, by your spirit. Lord, we pray for all who profess and call themselves Christians here this morning, that they be led into the ways of truth and righteousness. Lord, remember our own church here. We are grateful to be back. We remember and we pray for, Lord, each one who can't make it out. Oh, Lord, we pray that even through this service, Lord, there would be that resurrection hope there felt in homes as well. Lord, remember our dear friend Campbell and Rachel. We pray for the congregation of Dervock as they are met back as well this first Sunday morning. We pray for that first service as Minister Campbell will have, Lord, even now with the people. We pray, Lord, the word proclaimed. Lord, the gospel sounded loud and clear and your work, Lord, in that part of your vineyard. Remember those in our own congregation who grieve and mourn. Father, we pray that as we've thought about, there would be a resurrection hope. Lord, even felt and, Lord, expressed. Remember those who are sick and suffering. Lord, we pray that yet we would have opportunities to show them, Lord, your mercies. Lord, show them, Lord, your fatherly, heavenly hand. Lord, and that they would be led into righteousness and fresh trust. Lord, as we end our prayers of intercession, Lord, we pray together, out loud indeed, as your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.